This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by John Wendling. John is the CEO of Parkland Community Health Plan. Parkland Community Health Plan has had a wonderful history, and more recently, under John's leadership, a great turnaround and a great movement towards growth again. John, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thank you very much, Scott. So I joined Parkland 2 years ago in January. My background is all healthcare. I spent the first half of my career on the provider side. I worked for Cincinnati Children's for many years and worked for a large integrated healthcare delivery system out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I joined the ranks of managed care in 2006 in Ohio. Had the opportunity to do some financial turnarounds with a publicly traded company in Lincoln, Nebraska, and also had the opportunity to do a startup operation.
And talk to us, John, about Parkland Community Health Plan. Give us a little bit of the history of Parkland Community Health Plan.
Absolutely. So Parkland Community Health Plan was incorporated in 1997. We are a Medicaid managed care organization. We received our first Medicaid member in 1999. Today, we're a $750 million organization with just over 200,000 members. Our parent organization, Parkland Health and Hospital System, has been serving the Dallas community for more than 125 years. And so knowing that the state of Texas was going to a full risk managed care model, and because it is the mission of our parent organization to serve the underserved populations within the community, that's why we were incorporated. Our parent organization entered the U.S. history books in 1964 as a receiving hospital for JFK when he was assassinated. Out of that came a lot of federal funds and a lot of federal grants that has them as one of the busiest burns and trauma centers today in the U.S. Another little fun fact about our parent organization is they deliver two kindergarten classes 365 days a year, just under 14,000 babies. And so, like I had said, I came in 2019 to do a full business and cultural transformation.
And talk about that business and cultural transformation with the health plan. Just talk a little bit about what you've been doing, what's going on with it. Give us a sense of that.
Absolutely. So when I entered the organization in January of 2019, we had 16 employees overseeing the operations for this $750 million organization. Everything that defines an organization was being performed by third parties. Knowing that this was not sustainable for the long term, through the board for the health system and Dr. Fred Cerise and David Lopez, the CEO and the COO for the health system, they understood we needed a change in direction. You know, you enter an organization like this with your vision, and the journey begins. I often like to refer to this as competing platforms, because when you enter an organization, you have individuals who have been operating under a former state and a current state, and you're coming in with your future state. You're kind of the lone wolf. And, you know, we bring these individuals along as we come. This transformation that we were undertaking requires people, process, and technologies. In January of 2020, along with some attrition along the way, we were at actually 18 employees. As we headed into this pandemic, in March of 2020, we secured a $115 million investment in a core claim system and launched the system implementation to assume full operation in a completely virtual environment. As we sit today, we are just north of 100 employees. And as we head towards the cutover from our third-party administrator to running the operations ourselves, we will be roughly 140 to 140 FTEs. It's been an exciting journey. It's at times a little exhausting, but it's I'm very blessed to be have colleagues, my core team that share my vision for where we want to take this organization. Additional priorities, along with moving into taking over the operations, we're looking at additional lines of business to better serve or more fully serve our community. And so that will include the marketplace through the ACA, as well as commercial line. When you look at our parent organizations. There's over 12,000 employees, 20,000 total dependents on a publicly traded insurance carrier. And as a health plan, we should be able to better serve those members as well as ourselves. And so our objective over the course of the next 3 to 5 years is to be the preferred managed care organization, not only for our members, but also the rest of the community, whether that be our providers, other key stakeholders. We also want to be the preferred partner for our state regulatory agencies, for the governor's office, for legislators, as they look at new plan designs, for example. And so we want to be able to allow them to leverage us as they look for new solutions.
So what a remarkable transformation to go from 15 employees and everything outsourced to 150 employees full time to look at sort of bringing things in-house versus outsourcing them to try and be the highest quality plan, the best managed plan. What an amazing transformation and building a great team. John, take a moment and talk about if you were giving advice to a young leader about building a leadership career, being a terrific leader, what two or three pieces of advice would you give to a young leader?
Right. So a couple of things. You know, what I learned throughout my career was you are part of the solution. You are not the solution in and of yourself. And so when I look at my colleagues, so my team, my line, these are people that I work with to accomplish this vision for our future state. The title in and of itself doesn't give right to sitting in a better position, in a higher position. We're all in this together to accomplish this. It's not me solely. It's not any one of my chiefs that will get us to our destiny. It is the entire organization that's going to get us from point A to point B. And so, you know, when we look out, and as I mentioned, bringing on additional product lines, my commitment to the board and to the health system when I entered the doors in January of 2019 was that over the course of 6 to 7 years, we would take our $750 million organization and move that towards our $1.4 to $1.5 billion operation. As we approach that 10-year mark, so 2028, 2029, we should be eclipsing $2 billion. It's not me that will accomplish that. It is everyone within the organization, all with the same focus, all with a clear understanding of our vision and our mission that's going to get us to where we want to be.
And take a moment, John, as long as I have you, just one moment on Dr. Frederick Cerisi, because he's a remarkable leader himself. Just one moment on some of his attributes.
Absolutely. So Dr. Cerisi, actually one of the reasons why in my mind I was ready to accept the position once it was offered, if it was going to be offered to me. So Dr. Cerisi is a physician out of Louisiana. He formerly served as the commissioner for Health and Human Services for the state of Louisiana. He came into Parkland roughly 7 years ago better serve the community. And, you know, he shares the vision, his vision, I should say, and his mission aligns perfectly with the health plan so that we can better serve the community as a whole. I feel very fortunate to be working with him. He has a lot of passion around the IHI Triple Aim, so the Institute for Healthcare Improvement Triple Aim, that looks to have improved outcomes, have a good consumer experience, whether it be the patient or the member, and to control cost. And so that is, you know, that's the mission, that's the platform that the health plan has, and we share that vision with Dr. Cerisi.
Thank you very much. John, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's a great pleasure hearing your thoughts and hearing more about the Parkland Community Health Plan. I'm familiar with the health system, a remarkable health system, a great public servant health system as well. John, thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Absolutely. You have a wonderful day.